It's the Kim Munson Show.
The Washington Times said that patriotic Americans donated U.S. flags after protesters raised the Mexican flag over the ICE facility.
Analyzing the most important stories.
It is not fair that people come in illegally and they have 3 square meals a day, TVs and all. There's something that is wrong with this picture.
The latest in politics and world affairs.
When we get into conversations with people, you can get real bombastic with each other because you haven't read it. You don't know what you're talking about.
Today's current opinions and ideas.
So if you understand the issue, then you can have calm, reasonable conversations.
Is it freedom or is it force? Let's have a conversation.
Indeed, let's have a conversation. Welcome to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson, and we're going to talk about the election today. Thought I'd give it a day to kind of shake out. And so at the third and fourth segment, we will be talking with Amy Oliver Cook. She is the executive director over at the Independence Institute. As Steve, you like to say, she's the really smart AOC, and that is Amy Oliver Cook.
Yeah, there's smart people out there going, Amy Oliver Cook, that's AOC. Let's make that distinction right up front. This is the good AOC.
Yes, with good policies. And so we'll chat with her in the third and fourth segment. We'll go through headlines in this first and second segment. Of course, we'll talk with Jason McBride, Presidential Wealth Management, down at the bottom of the hour. So, well, let's jump in here. We always talk about these issues as freedom versus force, force versus freedom. And Steve, when I was driving in, I was thinking about Maggie Thatcher, where she said, you cannot have political freedom unless you have economic freedom. And that is why we take a look at these issues, is freedom versus force and force versus freedom. Ultimately, socialism comes down to force. And as that meme that you found the other day, you can vote your way into socialism, but you normally need to shoot your way back out of it. And just take a look at Nazi Germany, which stands for the National Socialist German Workers' Party. And you saw the death and destruction that ultimately came with that. But they voted him in. They voted him in. And then they got what they got. And I mentioned that I talked to a World War II veteran, over 100 and a half years old. And interesting, you know, when babies are, you talk about their age, you talk about them in months, and then you get to our age and we talk about it in years. And then once you get over into the older age, you also talk about it in months. So his daughter said she's 100 and he's 100 and a half. But he said when they went into Berlin, that Berlin was absolutely decimated. And the people in Berlin were hoping that the Americans got there first because he said that the Russians looted everything when they got there. And so we're the good guys. We're not perfect guys, but we're the good guys. So we look at these issues, freedom versus force, force versus freedom. And it is never compassionate to take other people's rights, their property, or their freedom via force, whether with a weapon policy or unpredictable and excessive taxation. And this just jumped into my brain, Steve, and that is, you know, when you have these Democrat presidential candidates saying that they want to offer free college, when Elizabeth Warren was a professor at Harvard, was she working for free? Absolutely not.
$450,000.
Yeah. So in essence, what they're saying is free something means that they want to take it from somebody via policy and give it to somebody else. And we are on the firing line here in Colorado, and that's why we do this show because we are seeing a continued pressure to socialize our transportation, our education, energy, housing, water, communications, and data. And we need to stand strong on this. So thank you to the team, Steve, Zach, Patty, Keith, and Charlie, for all of your hard work. And thank you to you listeners. You are treasured. You're valued. Today is the day. Go out there, strive for excellence, and take care of heart, soul, mind, and body. Be sure and check out my website. Zach's doing a great job on that. It's kimmunson.com. That's Kim, M-O-N-S-O-N.com. And be sure and email me if you have anything that you want to chat about, and that's kim@kimmunson.com. And just very quickly, I wanted to once again mention the movie No Safe Spaces. I saw it last Friday evening. Very important film. If freedom of speech goes down, all of the other things in the Bill of Rights goes down as well. And you've seen this assault on freedom of speech because folks are offended. And once again, when we talk about socialism, we can move to anarchy. And I really was still shocked. I had not really paid attention to what had happened out at Berkeley, which had been the place of free speech back in the 60s. And here you had protesters, just because somebody wanted to speak, they were throwing stuff through windows. It was astounding to me. So this film, No Safe Spaces, is so important.
Yeah, I think we see, like you saw in the movie, the video that came from that one particular evening, and you look at it and it's like, oh, wow, you know, that's really extreme, and like it's something that's far away from us. It's not. We are closer to anarchy than a lot of people would ever, because bad behavior can really come out of nowhere. And the Antifa clowns that are out there, especially like up in the Northwest, I mean, they come out of nowhere and immediately it's hell. It's fires being lit in the streets. It's, you know, breaking glass. It's things being thrown. It's incredible.
Well, it is incredible. And Patty just texted me. I think I knew this and then I forgot this. Today is the 30th anniversary of the Berlin Wall coming down. Ronald Reagan said, Mr. Gorbachev, tear down this wall. And they brought that wall down because they were willing to talk. Oh, whoops, hold on. She says it's the 9th of November. She's just texted me. So here we come. It'll be in a couple of days, which is really, really a big deal. It's the 30th anniversary of the Berlin Wall coming down. So that's on the 9th of November. It's a great thing. So, and speaking of that, I makes us think of our military and our veterans. And one of my valued partners, Hooters Restaurants, on November 11th, which is Monday, it's Veterans Day. All veterans and active duty military can choose from, they have six really great things and to eat. And you can choose one of those, and you will get to eat for free. They say there's no free lunch, but for veterans and military, on November 11th, there is either free lunch or free dinner. So go on over to Hooters. Let them know that you know Kim Munson as well. Are you ready for a little inspiration?
Yes.
Or, you know what? I'm changing this to wisdom/inspiration. Is that okay?
Well, inspiration that comes through wisdom. Okay.
Okay. Walter Williams. And Walter Williams is an American economist, commentator, and academic. He is the John M. Olin Distinguished Professor of Economics at George Mason University, as well as a syndicated columnist and author known for his classical liberal and libertarian conservative views. He says this, people who denounce the free market and voluntary exchange and are for control and coercion, can you say Prop CC? Okay, I just put that wasn't part of it, believe that they have more intelligence and superior wisdom to the masses. What's more, they believe they've been ordained to forcibly impose that wisdom on the rest of us. Of course, they have what they consider good reasons for doing so, but every tyrant that has ever existed has had what he believed were good reasons for restricting the liberty of others. Wowza. Steve, what do you think?
Well, reading it back, not backwards, but reading it in you know, reverse order, I mean, it seems to be the recipe for tyranny.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
So restricting liberty, restricting economic freedom, and that is what we are seeing here in Colorado with this Prop CC, which fortunately went down, but we'll be talking just in just a few minutes about the ink is not even dry on the results, and they are ready to go after Tabor and also a graduated income tax. So let's have a little bit of funnies here. There's a lot of serious stuff going on.
Yeah, I'm overwhelmed with all the things that we're supposed to cover. So, yeah, help me
get through here. Huh?
Un-overwhelmed.
Okay. Alfred E. Newman. Wasn't he in Mad Magazine?
Yeah, it was his picture on the front of Mad Magazine for decades.
Yeah, he said, crime does not pay as well as politics.
True.
Ernest Benn said, politics is the art of looking for trouble, finding it whether it exists or not, diagnosing it incorrectly, and applying the wrong remedy.
Speaks well to what we've been seeing for the last five decades.
Yes. And lastly, Will Rogers said, there is no trick to being a humorist when you have the whole government working for you.
That Will Rogers, he's my hero.
Okay, let's take this first one on here. You know, if you want to find out what's going on in Colorado, go to Complete Colorado. They aggregate news articles from all over the state. And then if you click on the banner at the very top, it'll take you to original content. But this piece is from the Colorado Sun. And the title is the headline is "The Next Fiscal Fight in Colorado Starts Now. A Bid to Repeal Tabor and One to Raise Taxes on Top Earners." It says, Colorado voters rejected a bid to remove the spending caps in the Taxpayers' Bill of Rights, but the fiscal fight is only expected to get more intense in the next year. One interest group is considering a repeal of the Taxpayers' Bill of Rights, and another is testing ideas for a graduated tax system that increases rates for the wealthy. Both are eyeing the 2020 ballot and appear undeterred by Proposition CC's defeat this year. Whatever we do next must be bold enough to drown out the alarmist. That work begins today, said Scott Wasserman at the Bell Policy Center, the organization seeking to overhaul the tax system, in a statement. If we truly want to build a state that works for everyone, then we need to amend the Constitution, added Carol Hedges of the Colorado Fiscal Institute, which is working to unwind Tabor. Proposition CC constituted the most substantial challenge to Tabor since voters put it into the state constitution in 1992 because it would have removed limits on spending, okay? A lackluster campaign for its passage, motivated opposition and voter confusion, contributed to defeat by a significant margin on Tuesday with 55 voting no and 45 in favor. Did you really think there was voter confusion on that? I think the voters realized that what was really happening there is they said that they wanted to keep our Tabor tax refunds forever, and the voters said no. I don't think that the voters were confused at all, Steve.
Not at all. I mean, they were maybe tired of having their pockets picked, but it's confusion? No, I don't think there was a whole lot of confusion out there.
I don't either. So very quickly, one other thing. You had mentioned, you found this map of which counties actually voted in favor of CC. And first of all, if you look at the map of Colorado, the bulk of the counties voted against it. The only counties really, let's see, there was Denver, maybe Adams, I can't tell, and Boulder.
On the Front Range, yes.
Yeah, on the Front Range. Otherwise, it was defeated. But this blue streak that you mentioned is up in the mountains.
Yes, anybody who's seen this map, it'll grab your attention immediately. There's a streak running from north to south or south to north of counties that approve CC, and that includes Rout, Eagle, Summit, Pickens, Gunnison, Ouray, San Miguel, San Juan, and La Plata counties. And again, just looking at the geography of this blue streak that goes right up the middle of the state when the rest of it was green, it was the way the map was drawn, it grabs your attention right away. And my question to you earlier this morning is, why?
You know, I don't know the answer for that yet. However, I think that, you know, some of those counties are some of the most beautiful counties in Colorado. And so we've had people that have migrated that have a lot of money. And maybe it's these West and East Coast Democrats that have moved to these beautiful areas here in Colorado. I don't know for sure.
Well, right from the get-go, we have the Gov basically downplaying, what CC is all about, and keep using these words to minimalize additional dollars you might be giving up if it weren't for Tabor. And I think, okay, everyone knows about the Gov's wealth. Good for him. That's great. But the rest of us, you know, the middle class people, say no, not so fast. Hey, one more point before you go to break.
Okay.
I looked at this map and I said, this is proof that the rest of the state can counteract or counterbalance the Denver-Boulder corridor. Keep this in mind for the next gubernatorial election.
And this gives you hope, doesn't it? Because I know that you've been really troubled with, does the metro area, will it control the state? And so this should be, I hadn't thought about that. Good for you.
Well, it's an excellent visual when you look at this map and you say, yes, we can counteract some of the funny things that are going down. Yep.
And where did you get that map? Was it Colorado Rising, was it, I think it was Colorado Rising. I think it was Michael Field's group.
I had to go back and look at the source.
Yeah, I think that that's who, I think it's Colorado Rising Action, if I have that, the right words on that. So let's go to break. When we come back, we have some more headlines, and then we'll be talking with Jason McBride at the bottom of the hour. He's got some really important information on estate taxes. And then third and fourth segment, Amy Oliver Cook, and we're going to break down these election results. We'll be right back.
At Hooters, you can watch the games with all your buddies. And when your buddies are the world-famous Hooters girls, there's always plenty of ice-cold beer and those craveable wings that'll knock your taste buds into next Tuesday. Hooters girls know plenty about football, but we really know the fans who live for it. So hang out with all your buddies all season long at Hooters, your official hangout for game day.
Catch all the games at Hooters and enjoy a Bud or Bud Light draft with 10 boneless wings, just $10. Dine for two with the pitcher and nachos, just $20.
A reverse mortgage can be an important financial tool for individuals 62 and older. It is essential to understand the process so that all of your questions are answered. With over 17 years in the mortgage industry, Lauren Levy, Polygon Financial Group, has the experience to answer your questions. Lauren knows that each financial transaction is personal. If you'd like to explore your options on a reverse mortgage or with rates down, explore options to remodel your home, buy a rental property, or move, call Lauren Levy at 303-880-8881. That's 303-880-8881 for a mortgage checkup.
Welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson, and we have important conversations about important things going on out there in our world. And Steve and I were talking during the break about, again, this headline that the ink wasn't even dry on the results. And the Bell Policy Center and some other organizations say we are coming after Tabor, the Colorado Taxpayers Bill of Rights, full force, as well as trying to implement a graduated income tax. And a graduated income tax is based on envy. And when you make decisions based on envy, whether or not in your personal life or from a public policy standpoint, you're not going to have good results. Steve, you took a look at the Bell Policy Center, and you said something on their website. There was something really interesting.
Yeah, I'm going back through their statements there in Patty's material that she sends us, and something kind of jumped out at me. It's kind of like it was a challenge, which made me go look at their website. But whatever you want to call that, right underneath, you know, their
byline or
byline,
whatever,
their motto, whatever: economic mobility for every Coloradan. Now, what does that mean?
What does that mean? But ultimately, what it will mean is that government will start to pick winners and losers. And that takes us to the piece that I think that you sent to me yesterday, Steve, and that was this whole thing down in Venezuela, where people are actually numbers being tattooed on them. Again, does that make you think about Nazi Germany, where they actually tattooed numbers on people in concentration camps?
Yes, on the Jewish people.
Yeah, and it wasn't just Jews. It was, he went after gays, he went after gypsies, he went after anybody that he felt was a political enemy. So in Nazi Germany, they tattooed numbers on people's arms. And now in Venezuela, they are tattooing numbers on people's arms so that they can stand in line to get food. Is that not astounding?
Yeah, there were two pictures in that piece. One was the close-up of a woman's arm showing, plainly showing the mark that was put there. And then the next picture further down was the massive line leading towards wherever the grocery or the food was being distributed.
Yes, and, Venezuela just 40 years ago was one of the most prosperous countries in South America, and it's because of these policies you now have people standing in line for food, and they are actually tattooing people's arms so that they can get food. It is absolutely astounding. And so you can see what happens when you have really bad policies and when you have policies of envy, and that is what we see going on with this this graduated income tax that's probably going to be proposed here in Colorado. And let's just think about it. A graduated income tax, so the harder you work And possibly the more successful you are, if you take risk, then you are going to have to pay a bigger and bigger part of the pie. Now, so let's say that if you make let's say you make $50,000 and the tax rate is 4.63%. So what your taxes are, probably $2,500 or something like that. Okay. So if you make $100,000 and the tax rate is 4.63%, you pay $4,600. So aren't you already paying more in taxes? And with a graduated income tax, then they're going to say instead of 4.63%, you'd have to pay 5% or 6%. And so ultimately, you start to ding people that are working hard, becoming more and more successful. And so why on earth would government want to try to penalize people for doing better? It's only based on envy. And so the two questions on the table as we look at this is, do you envy what somebody else has accomplished and say, I don't want them to have that, I want to take more of that? Or do you look at them and you say, my gosh, this is America. And with hard work and some risk-taking, anything is possible. I'm happy for them, and I just want the same opportunities that and not given to me by government, but I want the opportunity to go after my hopes and dreams. If they can do it, I can do it. How's that, Steve?
Well, before Jason gets here, let's go back to this thing, this first piece on Patty's feed. This gentleman, what's his name? Scott Wasserman. Yeah. We said just a little while ago, CC and what we've just gone through with the election was a battle. And we won this battle, but the war is still on. And look at the words he's using here. Whatever we do next, we must be bold enough to drown out the alarmists.
The alarmists are people that want to keep their, keep some of their money.
We're alarmists?
Yeah. Look at the wording on that.
Talk about fighting words.
It is. And so, and actually I had a friend I talked to yesterday, and she said, Kim, congratulations. You worked so hard on trying to defeat Prop CC. I said, there were a lot of people that worked really, really hard on this. And she said, you should be really excited. And, Steve, I am. But on the other hand, I knew this. I knew that the battle, we can't rest on our laurels at all. The battle starts today. And we need to make sure that we are up for the battle on that. A couple of other things I did want to quickly mention, though.
Before you do that,
yeah?
What I just said sounds so, it puts your teeth on edge. Michael Fields of Colorado Rising.
Mm-hmm, okay.
He says, knowing that we're going to have to fight against the full repeal of Tabor, I think this just gives us momentum.
Good.
So there's both the good and the bad.
Okay. And so on that note, a couple of other things to mention, and that is one that I found absolutely fascinating, if I can find the headline here, and that is that there is a potential proposal out there with, the Denver Post has been in financial trouble, the Rocky Mountain News basically gone out of business, and so you're seeing a proposal now where we would have media outlets that would be paid for by tax dollars. That is a really, really bad idea. We already have NPR. We've got the Colorado Public Broadcasting System. And they live off of both government money and then donations. And how on earth can you be a good watchdog on government, which is what the press is supposed to do, if that is where you are getting your funding? And so very concerned about that. We need to keep an eye on that. And with our show, what we do is we are true entrepreneurs. I buy my time, which is a great thing because we have full editorial control on this. But we also have very valued sponsors that, work with us to bring forth this show. And one of them is Jason McBride and his whole group of great folks over at Presidential Wealth Management. So, Jason McBride, welcome. How are you doing this morning?
Hey, I'm good. So you asked what economic mobility means?
What?
That means they figure out a way that your money transfers from you to them in a much more easy fashion, very mobile.
That is brilliant. That is brilliant. Speaking of that, you and I have, we're concerned about taxes. Estate taxes is something that is, if somebody works hard their whole life, they should be able to pass that on to who they would like to. But with estate taxes, high estate taxes, the government says, hey, we want to take a bunch of that. And so you've been looking, really doing a lot of research on it, and the estate tax is confusing and very senseless. And I'm always wondering why the government should confiscate any of my property just because I kicked the bucket.
Well, I agree, Kim. The estate tax is a destroyer of family businesses, family farms, and let's get down to it. It destroys families. There's been many children who have had to sell off huge amounts of property or destroy a business that's been in the family for generations just to cover the estate taxes due. Now, right now, thanks to President Trump, the exemption's really high. It's $11.4 million per person, or $22.8 million for a married couple. But anything above that is still taxed at 40%.
Well, Jason, I know a lot of people would say, now, what's the big deal? These spoiled little brats will get $22 million tax-free. So what if they have to pay a 40% tax on anything above that?
Well, frankly, Kim, I could care less if the little brats are the most awful people on the face of the planet and they are getting $100 billion. For the government to think they can just take 40% or more of someone's assets is completely draconian.
And, Jason, these exemptions weren't always so high, though, were they?
No, they really, up until about 2010, they were fairly low, Kim. So, for example, in 1997, anything over $600,000 was taxed at 55%. Now, even back then, a large successful business or a family farm or even someone that had a lot of rental properties could have far exceeded the $6 million. So just think, a farm or business worth $3 million back then, it's not too big of a stretch. The owner passes on, and the kids owe a 55% tax on $2.4 million. So that's $1,320,000. Where do they come up with money like that, Kim? Maybe they have to take out a huge mortgage on the business, which crushes it. Maybe they have to just go sell half of the farm that's been in their family forever. And it's all just to pay the government. It's a really sickening thought.
Well, that's for sure. And that was one of the things that I thought was really great about Donald Trump when he came in is at least, making these limits much, much higher. But, ultimately, I think that it's just really wrong that the government would have these high estate taxes. But the limits are pretty high right now, but that could change, right?
Well, they're trying to change them. Rep Jimmy Gomez, Democrat of California, he introduced legislation called the 99.8% Act, which is probably the percentage of your money they think they would like to take in reality. But he wants to lower the exemption and increase the tax rate. And all he did was just copy Bernie Sanders' exact legislation. So maybe he's too dumb to think up his own. But, Kim, under the act, here's what they would be doing. They would lower the exemptions way down. They would have a rate structure starting at 45%. The highest rate would be 77%. And that's insane. I don't care how big your estate is. For the government to come in and confiscate 77% of everything that you have worked for simply because you happen to do something convenient for them and you died is horrible. Now, this won't pass under Trump, but, if Warren or Bernie or someone similar like that ends up at the head of the table, 77% would probably be deemed far too kind to the evil rich people, and then they would make it even worse than that.
Well, and it's like the old joke, the good news is this will only tax the rich people. The bad news is you're now considered rich. So what kind of actions can wealthy individuals take if they're concerned about the rules changing for the worst?
Well, Kim, first, don't forget, anybody can give $15,000 a year to as many people as they want, and that's not even reportable. So gifting's one thing, but using up a huge $11 or $22 million exemption, that's a little bit more of a chore. And here's what I think's a simple strategy. So think about it this way, Kim. If there's an estate tax due, your kids have three options when Uncle Sam knocks on the door and says, you owe me $1 million, pay up. One, they can just pay it out of the estate, which causes the type of meltdowns that we just talked about. Two, they can try to say they don't owe it because they have a bunch of complicated trust paperwork and legal documents, and then they can fight with the government about it for about the next 10 years because they're not going to stop coming and trying to get the money if they think it's owed to them, and we know that how that works out. But I think the best way is to just write a check to the government using tax-free money. I like that one.
Well, that sounds like a good one. How does that work?
Okay, Kim, so these numbers are conceptual, but what you do is you dump a big chunk, let's say $2 million, into a life insurance policy that's owned by what's called an ILIT, or an irrevocable life insurance trust. The first thing that does, it gets the $2 million out of your estate, so it reduces the chance you're going to have an estate tax problem in the first place. But when you pass, your kids get a large tax-free death benefit, and let's say it's $4 million. So if you die and the estate's still big enough that estate taxes are owed when Uncle Sam comes knocking and asks for his million, your kids just write him a check and they say, here's your money, now go away. And the other $3 million left over, it's still in the trust. It's protected from ambulance chasers, gold diggers, and other generally bad people. So again, they come to the door, you say, here's your money. That's the easiest way to make them go away. And don't freak out if you're not a multimillionaire, Kim. This it can also work with smaller numbers if the exclusion amount drops in the future, which it probably will, or even if you're just worried about like Medicaid spend down rules.
Okay, well, that sounds pretty amazing, Jason, and you can help people set this up, plan like this up, right?
Yes, absolutely. I think it's one of the simplest ways to take care of this problem, and it's a lot more airtight and less likely to get challenged than a lot of other methods.
Well, it sounds like a good plan. And Jason, you and your colleagues over at Presidential Wealth Management, take a look at all of these things and work out individual plans for people's individual economic well-being. As we said, you can't have political freedom without economic freedom, but you want to make sure you take care of your own economic well-being. And Jason, you and your colleagues can help people out at that. So go to airpresidential.com. That's airpresidential.com, like A-I-R, or the phone number over there is 303-694-1600, 303-694-1600. And Jason, have a great day. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
Thanks, Kim. I know that took a little bit of time. I appreciate it.
Yeah, I think that's really important information that people understand that. And as we're gearing up, Jason, for this big tax fight that we see that's going to be happening in 2020, people need to be armed with the facts and armed with the truth. So I appreciate your important work on this. People need to know this.
Have a great show.
Thanks so much. And we're going to go to break. When we come back, we will talk about the election. This is Kim Munson. Stay tuned.
Are you looking for news, not propaganda? Ready for a news source you can actually trust? How about a news site that doesn't want to sell you a subscription? Visit CompleteColorado.com to see all the latest news from around Colorado. Complete Colorado's staff scours news sources from around the state and nation to bring you only the top stories that affect you right here in our great state. Updated three times a day, CompleteColorado.com has full-time reporters doing original investigations and reporting like newspapers used to do, as well as opinion and political commentary from a variety of Colorado voices. And CompleteColorado.com is the only place to read columnist Mike Rosen. Always fresh content, always free, always informed. CompleteColorado.com, your complete source for Colorado news.
Don't miss Vino and Veritas, Wine and Truth, a study of the Federalist Papers. Join Kim Munson at Water's Edge Winery in Centennial or Colorado Cork and Keg in Castle Rock. In Fort Collins, attend Vino and Veritas at Ginger and Baker. Kim Munson would like to thank Presidential Wealth Management Loveland, Presidential Wealth Management Denver, and the historic 88 Drive-In Theater for their generous support. Vino and Veritas, Wine and Truth, a study of the Federalist Papers. Sign up today at KimMunson.com. That's Kim, M-O-N-S-O-N.com.
Hey, welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. We're having important conversations, and I just wanted to share a text with you that Susan Kochevar had sent me. She's the owner of the 88 Drive-In Theater, and she said, you know, our graduated tax policy is a horrible game we play on our kids. Now, this is on the national level. Right now in Colorado, we have a flat income tax. She says, we say, oh, honey, go to school and study hard. Go to college so you can get a high-paying job. But the dirty little secret is the harder they work, the more they earn to take care of themselves, raise their families, and support their community, the more money our tiered tax system takes. It's a scam. Those estate taxes would have distorted her business when her mom passed on. And so Jason's point on this whole estate taxes and planning for that is really, really important. So, Steve, let's go through some of these election results. On Colorado Proposition CC, it went down, I would say, in flames. The no vote came in at about almost 55%. The yes vote at 45%. And with all the distortions in the language on that, it took a lot of work to try to slog through the truth on that. We saw Dan Ritchie had given over $1 million. Pat Stryker had been, I think, at $750,000. So there was a lot of money coming in to try to get people to vote yes on CC. But this is a really astounding victory to me.
Was there also some outside money outside the state?
Oh, yes, absolutely. There was a lot of outside money. So that is a big, big victory.
But, it is.
But we've got to go to work. We see right now the Bell Policy Center and some of the other organizations, they are coming after Tabor big time.
Well, again, I not to be repetitive, but that map that we were discussing earlier, the fact that we can counterbalance the Denver-Boulder corridor in the way it tends to vote, more liberal sense, but also kind of pushing back that big money, especially from the outside. That, mm-hmm. That gets my goat. You know, the people, Pat Stryker and Ritchie, is private citizens, I guess. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You know, if they had the means to do what they did, okay, fine. But the outside money, I wish we could find a way to fight back against that.
Well, I think that we did. I think that we did. So
We did. We voted.
Yeah, we voted, and that's the other thing. And this is, I'm not going to tell you that. Well, I am going to tell you this story. So I had texted my son, and asked if he and my daughter-in-law had voted, and he responded back yes. And so I then texted him and said, how about all your friends? And I get the IDK, I don't know, I'm not their mother. And that just made me laugh out loud. But Proposition CC went down big, 10 points. Proposition DD, it was very, very close. It was only about 13,000 votes that did pass, and it was allowing sports betting. I was a no on DD because I really felt that sports betting and the water issue should be two different issues. Water, we do need to prioritize that and make that something that we're working on. And those that I think wanted to get DD passed, they decided to wrap that up with water. And so that did pass by just a little bit. I still don't like it because I think that it's, again, kind of a bait and switch. But it passed and the voters spoke, and so we have to honor that. Right, Steve?
We do, but the sticking point, I think, for both of us was that knowing the history of the state in the last, how many decades, there have been other things that happened that basically pushed the whole concept of water in this state and kind of, I don't know, gave it a knockout punch. Not much has happened in those, in the decades to follow the 80s. I'm specifically referring to, was it the Two Forks?
Right.
Or Twin Forks. I'm sorry. Twin Forks. Or Two Forks.
I think it was Two Forks, yeah.
Two Forks, yes. And this one, like you had said, the amount of money that they were quoting was kind of minuscule compared
to. A drop in the bucket.
A drop in the bucket. Okay, that's good. Yes. If government really wants to do something with water, then put it into the normal flow of business. But
no pun intended.
There it goes again. But this just seemed like a Trojan horse.
Yeah.
And inside the Trojan horse was more sports betting.
Yeah. So. And again, there was tons of outside money coming in on that as well. So let's jump over here to some of the other things. Another thing that was absolutely astounding was out in Jefferson County, that that Tabor or anti-Tabor Taxpayers Bill of Rights issue went down. It was 1A. And interestingly enough, you had Republicans that were coming out in favor of that, which was, and people that I really like and respect, but I was just a little shocked that they did that. And one of them was the sheriff out there who I really, really like a lot. And I was surprised, and I was very concerned that 1A would pass because, again, this was going to de-Tabor the excess spending limits, and that went down in flames. I'd say it went down pretty significantly. Out in Douglas County, that particular tax measure passed. But interesting, I need to just recheck this out, but the South Suburban 7A, do you remember that one on your ballot by any chance?
I do.
Okay. That was actually asking to get rid of the Gallagher Amendment, which was passed back in 1982, in essence, says that residential property in Colorado will pay 45% of the property tax bill, and commercial will pay 55%. And this was asking that we would actually get rid of the Gallagher on some of the South Suburban money there, and people voted that down. I was very surprised, but I was very pleased to see that on that one. So let's see here. On the Denver Public Schools, we had this young woman, Natella Manutseva. She jumped into the race late, and she did get 12.7% of the vote, but it looks like the candidates that were supported by the teachers' unions, they were victorious on Tuesday, and we had in Denver a movement towards more charter schools and kind of more freedom in education, and it looks like that may be tapped down because it looks like those candidates that were supported by the teachers union did win. And Natella, she jumped in late. She was an excellent candidate, so perhaps in the future, I hope she runs again.
Educate me. She billed herself as candidate at large?
Yes, it was at large.
Okay, what is that designation? You know, for my benefit, maybe some people listening.
Okay, so there are directors for different districts in Denver, and so they each have a representative, and there's somebody that is for the whole district as well. And so she was running at large.
Okay. I was disappointed there because she seemed like such a breath of fresh air, and other things that are going down in Denver proper politics. I thought, oh, you know, somebody like Natella, again, a breath of fresh air, and yet she got whacked by the union, favorites, I guess.
But you know what? I think that we need to start to organize and support these candidates in a much better way. We did what we could on the show to bring forth these many candidates, but I think we need to do more on that. Let's go to break, and then we will continue on with talking about the election results from last Tuesday. This is Kim Munson, The Kim Munson Show. We will be right back.
Award-winning realtor Karen Levine has 30 years of experience with RE/MAX Alliance. As a director with the National Association of Realtors, Karen Levine works to protect private property rights. Karen Levine believes in homeownership. Because of Karen's love of dogs, Karen volunteers with GRR, Golden Retriever Rescue of the Rockies, helping golden retrievers find their forever homes. Choose Karen Levine to buy or sell your home because she understands that it's more than just a house. Karen Levine comes highly recommended by Kim Munson. Call award-winning realtor Karen Levine with RE/MAX Alliance today at 303-877-7516. That's 303-877-7516.
All of Kim's sponsors are an inclusive partnership with Kim and are not affiliated with or in partnership with KLZ or Crawford Broadcasting. If you would like to support the work of the Kim Munson Show and grow your business, contact Kim at her website, kimmunson.com. That's Kim Munson, MONSON.com.
Social media is important to the Americhicks since it's an avenue we can utilize to hear from and speak to all of our friends. For those of you who enjoy listening to the show, we'd love to hear what's on your radar. follow us and talk to us at Americhicks Twitter and Facebook pages. Also, if you're a business owner who could benefit from some extra foot traffic from like-minded friends, consider advertising on the Americhicks radio show. Contact us at Americhicks.com or email Kim at Americhicks.com.
Hey, welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson, and we are going through some of the election results. And I wanted to just again mention this South Suburban Park and Recreation District ballot issue. It started with the words that I recommend whenever you see this, without raising, those are the words. But this said, without raising the tax levy rate in 2020, shall South Suburban Park and Recreation District be authorized to adjust the district's mill levy rate up or down beginning in 2021, and annually thereafter, if needed, to offset revenue losses resulting from state-mandated property tax assessment rate reductions caused by the Gallagher Amendment. And we're also going to see, I think, this next year, a real movement to get rid of the Gallagher Amendment. And, Steve, we have talked about how the Gallagher Amendment and Tabor, Colorado's Taxpayers' Bill of Rights, in essence, it has put a bit of a pressure on some of the rural communities and some of the little fire districts, because with the assessment rate going down on the residential property, because of all of the growth in the Front Range, it is putting some pressure on some of these little districts and little towns in rural Colorado. And they can do what South Suburban had on the ballot this last election. And in some of those cases, you may want to do that for your own community. But I actually think it's a bit audacious that we have a metro district here in the Front Range where we continue to see more and more development, more and more houses coming in, that they would come in and ask to get rid of the Gallagher Amendment. And this is just one of the first shots across the bow on this particular issue as well. And so there are times where it may be appropriate, and then there are times where it is not. And I'm pleased to let you know that this actually went down. It went 55% to 44%. That's pretty huge, Steve, because normally we do vote for, you know, parks where we live.
You know, the bigger issue here, overriding all these things, is taxation, you know, the topic of taxation. And I got a quote here for Winston Churchill. I contend that for a nation to try and tax itself into prosperity is like a man standing in a bucket and trying to lift himself up by the handle. And I got a whole list of other quotes here that were they're attributed to a very well-informed man who used to run around the country back at the turn of the 20th century. He was a preacher, Reverend William Becker, and he lectured around the U.S., about industrial relations at the turn of the 20th century. Now, a lot of these quotes are attributed to Lincoln, but they really came from this guy. And you'll recognize him. You cannot strengthen the weak by weakening the strong. You cannot lift up the wage earner by pulling down the wage payer. So I'd like to, you know, all these famous sayings by these individuals, especially like the one from Churchill, you know, this gentleman, Wasserman from the
Bell Policy Institute.
What does he think when he hears those words? What does he think? Because they certainly seem to run counter to what the Institute is all about.
And well, most definitely. And what's so interesting, though, is he's using the words, what was it, economic policy for everyone.
Economic mobility for every Coloradan.
Yeah, and as Jason said, that means that your dollars move from your pocket to their pocket.
Faster.
Yeah, faster. And that is why this is so interesting as we look at these election results, because pretty much overwhelmingly, Coloradans have said that no on many, many of these tax questions. But then you see that they many times will elect people and put them into office that have the exact opposite in their particular agendas, although there was some real successes out there the other night as well. So a couple of things. Douglas County, that ballot issue, and again, it started out with without raising additional taxes. Whenever you see that, that actually means that is a fox in sheep's clothing there. It did pass, though, not huge. It was 52 to 47%, so about 4 points when you get right down to it.
That was the 1A in Douglas County.
That was the 1A there. And then 1A went down in Jefferson County, which was a big deal. Mike Kaufman won regarding mayor in Aurora. And I'm finding this kind of interesting, Steve, is that, let's see here. I think he won with about 39% of the vote. And so when you have so many different candidates in a race, you don't have to get to 50% to win that election. But Mike Kaufman was victorious there. Regarding our Douglas County School Board races, Susan Meek eked out Andy Jones 51% to about 49%. Francine Thompson, Elizabeth Hansen was victorious over Francine Thompson, and David Ray was victorious over Corey Nelson. So that's what happened there. Let's see, down in El Paso County, I had pulled those up as well. Let me get those for you also. And some of the guys that we had on also were victorious. And I thought I had it at my fingertips here. There we go. Nope, one more. Let's see, I need to do it by memory. I thought I had it at my fingertips.
Well, while you're looking, the Andy Jones situation, mm-hmm. I was really, really disappointed by that, because here's a man with a 30-year history in the military, in the U.S. Navy, and the two times that he was here in the studio and we actually talked with him, I was so impressed by the way his deportment, which is, you know, obviously you're going to see that in a long-term military career person. And he was sharing a story the first time he was here that I guess just recently, within like 24 hours, they were at some type of public forum, and his opponent really kind of belittled him for his military service. And I thought, how tacky in this day and age, how tacky could that be to stand up in a room full of people and make light of, or, you know, just dispense with his military career brings nothing to this. This we're talking about being a, you know.
Well, and he also volunteered pretty significantly as well for the Douglas County School District. He'd been, I think, on the school accountability committee. And, you know, I was thinking a lot about this. And let's go to Donald Trump. You said that you'd seen some of the, or heard some of the sound bites from him last night.
Oh, yeah.
And what he does is he creates a contrast between him and his opponent. And I think sometimes our candidates they're just typically pretty nice folks, you know, and they're like, you know, it's difficult to create that contrast. But I think that that is something that we need to make sure that happens, is the contrast. And he is, he's brilliant at that.
You know, I've been a techno geek, and I could see very easily see myself being in this position. It's a big rally and a big arena, you know, 28, 30,000 people, whatever the number is. And here's the press set up along the back with cameras and whatnot, and not once but twice he specifically pointed to them and saying, there's the reason, you know, whatever the issue was. How would you like to be singled out in a crowd that size by the President of the United States? But Michael Pelko ran the sound bites earlier this morning. They were hilarious.
Well, and you know what? I don't know how he has the energy to do what he does on a regular basis. But it's important to continue to have the contrast. And the contrast is really freedom versus force, force versus freedom. And it's, whose kids are they? Are they our kids, our family's kids, or are they the government's kids? And so what we see with Governor Polis, where he wants to tax all of us to pay for all-day kindergarten, once again, we are giving up control of our children to the government. And that's why these school board races are so, so important.
Yeah, he keeps pushing the, what's he called, the preschool. Mm-hmm. You don't have to look very far before you realize that, well, okay, that's an increased opportunity for the state to indoctrinate.
That's exactly what it is.
And the icing on this cake, though, came, about 3 or 4 weeks ago? One of the people on the group who basically works on the budget, already she's conceding that, well, we're $85 million in the hole for this pre-kindergarten thing because we went with a low bid. But, you know, it's too late. We're already $85 million in the hole. How does that happen?
Yeah, how does that happen? if they're responsible, it doesn't happen. One other thing, a couple of things. Jail in Arapahoe County went down as well, if I remember right. And I think I just about had gotten to the place where I had these school board races. Hold on. I thought I had them. Here we go. Just about. You know what? I may have to give that to you tomorrow. I'll give that to you tomorrow on that. I'll get with Ted, and we'll get that information for you to you on that tomorrow. But I do really appreciate people stepping up and putting their name out there, and congratulations to those that were victorious and to those that were not, and who believe in freedom versus force. Then be sure and don't give up, step up, and I would encourage you to run again, because we've got to make sure that we continue to fight right here on the ground level for these town council, city council, school board, county commissioner races. And then when these people are out there, when they are do win, we need to make sure that we wrap our arms around them with support when they stand up and make those really hard decisions, Steve.
You were very consistent over the last 2 weeks and telling, you know, don't belittle this position that you're in the running for in terms of school board. These are some of the most elections that are
most important, most important elections out there. So with that, show's just about over. So Walter Williams, he said, What's just been debated for centuries, but let me offer you my definition of social justice. I keep what I earn and you keep what you earn. Do you disagree? Well, then tell me how much of what I earn belongs to you and why. So today, read great books, think good thoughts, listen to beautiful music, communicate and listen well, live honestly and authentically, strive for high ideals, and like Superman, stand for truth, justice, and the American way. This is Kim Munson signing off. God bless you, and God bless America. And I don't want no one to cry, but tell them if I don't survive, I was born free. I was born free. I was born free. The views and opinions expressed on KLZ 560 are those of the speaker, commentators, hosts, their guests, and callers. They are not necessarily the views and opinions of Crawford Broadcasting or KLZ Management, employees, associates, or advertisers. KLZ 560 is a Crawford Broadcasting God and Country station.